I was going through my library to find a new home for some books and comics and also make room for new stuff. You probably feel the same way as I do about getting rid of anything, and that's a topic for another day, but when I came by my old gaming magazines, I knew they weren't going anywhere, even though I set them aside into the maybe pile. This was, coincidentally, around the same time when I learned about the famous Game Informer coming back after GameStop shut it down in 2024. If you're unfamiliar with the story, I'll link some sources in the description. But in short, it was shuttered after more than 30 years in publication, but the brand was bought by a new company and the entire team recently got back together to bring it back to life. Even though we're practically the same age, I never read Game Informer. I know about the impact it had, primarily in the US, but as I grew up in Serbia, it never reached me. Since the 90s, I've been reading local magazines about gaming and gaming-adjacent topics. There's even one, Svet Computera, or The World of Computers, that's been in print since 1984. Aside from that one, there are a few of them that are no longer published, or at least not in the same name, but they still make me smile as I go through them. It's not just the nostalgia talking. I won't digress too much, but the 90s and early 2000s were far from idyllic, to say the least. Sanctions, bombings, all the other good stuff took a toll, so a lot of things were hard to come by, or came later than in many Western countries. A few things stand out from that period. Some of them I already mentioned on the channel, such as fantasy books and comics, for example The Sword of Shannara and Conan the Barbarian. Some of them I'll get to eventually, like cartoons on the bootleg cable and pirated films on VHS. But let's stick to gaming this time. I started with a Sega Mega Drive, which I'm fairly certain was also a bootleg. At that time, Nintendo 64 and PS1 were already rocking the global market, so it was so exciting seeing the industry evolve. Additionally, as you can see by the general theme of my channel, I was mesmerized by the prospect of storytelling in games. Sometime later, I got a PS1, and that stuck around for a long time, until I got to a PC. Still, there was a lot of stuff I couldn't get to, and it was moving really fast. Sure, things are moving even faster now, but back then, at risk of sounding far older than I am, it was different. Aside from magazines, there was a single TV show that lasted for a short bit, and rumors that you would get in our equivalent of arcades. Even back then, even if I couldn't explain it, I knew I wanted to be plugged into everything and stay on top of exciting and creative things people were making. It isn't an exaggeration if I say reading gaming magazines and playing games were one of the key pillars of me being who I am now. How, you may ask? Well, they jump-started my English, which had a domino effect for everything from my job to my hobbies. Speaking of hobbies, that's how I discovered D&D, which I wouldn't get to play for another 10 years, and even more with the official rules. Those amazing illustrations and descriptions of how the game worked kept the hamster wheel in my brain spinning like crazy, even though I hadn't even seen a D20 yet at that point. Sure, some people played it here, and it's not like we only got everything 5 years ago, but back then, it was much harder finding people with the same interests and access to resources needed. Of course, the imagination and escapism spilled over into my writing. Seeing announcements of games that were potentially going to be huge with just a few lines of text and a single in-development screenshot had me creating worlds in my head. I still remember when Daikatana was announced and how the descriptions made it seem like the coolest thing in the world, only for it to drop off my radar and to see it being a huge flop years later. There were even some that never came out, but in my mind it felt like I already played through them. Reading walkthroughs was also a special experience. Now you can watch a playthrough, but back then it was mostly text with just a few screens to set the tone. That's how I experienced Parasite Eve, for example. Another huge thing that these gaming magazines brought me was one of the first encounters of journalism, and especially the realization that it can be more than writing about politics or crime. While I'm hesitant to call storyline sessions journalism, the work I did on national television, radio, and various blogs before most of it went to shit, pardon my French, was at least in part influenced by those days spent flipping pages of Bonus magazine and reading the GTA 3 review for the 20th time. That's why when I put the magazines in the maybe pile, I knew they weren't going anywhere. That's also why I'm subscribed to a local online gaming magazine newsletter, even though I have access to endless podcasts and YouTube channels. I don't read it all the time, but I appreciate the enthusiasm and the desire to bring something that can still seem so far away closer. I hope I brought back some good memories and made you think about your inspirations and passions. Lots of random stories like these coming, so if you're interested in storytelling in any kind of media, keep following the Storyline Sessions, both here and on Instagram. My name is Marco and I'll see you in the next one. Keep creating stories.